so long ago. He lived in a world very unlike ours. Can we say then that it's important to consider the life of Abraham? Has he anything to say to people living in the 21st century? Emphatically, yes. In this world of the 21st century, Abraham is still a significant figure. Jews, Arabs, Christians all claim the name of Abraham. So he is important in the world of today. But more importantly, we consider him because of the place given to him in the Bible. Abraham is a towering figure. Not only do we have the record of his life in the book of Genesis, but in at least 21 other books, Abraham is mentioned, Old Testament and New Testament. It is difficult to read the Bible without encountering Abraham. Jesus, in his preaching, often spoke of Abraham. Abraham is there in the covenant of grace. And so the New Testament says, if you are a Christian, then you are a child of Abraham. Here's what Paul writes. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Like Abraham, you are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. You have inherited promises that were made to Abraham. Whenever Zacchaeus, that little man who climbed the sycamore tree, was converted and his life was changed, Jesus said this about him. He said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. So won't it be the case that those who are believers will want to know about Abraham, since they're called his sons, to know about the promises that they're inheriting, which were made to Abraham? And if you're not a Christian, then you also need to know about Abraham. You need to know what promises you are failing to possess. Abraham was a citizen of heaven. Hebrews says he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so to look at Abraham should awaken your attention to the reality of heaven. This morning, then, we want to consider the start of the story. And one thing stands out, as it does throughout the story of Abraham, and that is faith. Abraham lived by faith. You see, everybody is either living by faith or by sight, not by both at the same time. The New Testament says we live by faith and not by sight. Either we are living by faith or we're living by sight, by the things we see. Abraham lived by faith. Let's notice then some of these things that follow in the life of the person who lives by faith. First of all, faith obeys the call of God. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country. Verse 4, so Abram left. Some years ago, our session produced a little pamphlet called Leaving Home. I hope there's still some of them out there somewhere in the porch. Be good to get them out again. We prepared it because at that time there were a number of young people within the congregation who had reached the stage where they were moving away for study or some other reason of work. And we wanted to look at what you should think about at such an important point in your life. What are the crucial issues? If you're going to be moving away from home, what do you need to think about? What do you need to take into account? How do you make a decision about where you're going to go and where you're going to live? And around those different issues, this little pamphlet was prepared. Because leaving home is a major decision. It may be a life-changing decision. Lots of people do leave and they assume that someday they'll be back again. But then they find they go to another part of the country, even across the water, and they meet someone and they get married and they get a job and they settle down and really they never return again. When the story of Abraham begins, he is leaving home. But he's not leaving for any of the reasons that people leave home for today. He isn't leaving, for example, for economic reasons. It isn't to better himself. It isn't because prospects are fairly poor where he is. There's a lot of movement in the world today. People are crossing international boundaries all the time. The number of people who are moving at any given moment is enormous, going for work or economic reasons. But it wasn't for that reason he left home. It wasn't either because he'd restless feet, just one of those people who likes to be a kind of nomad, wandering about. Young people setting off into the world, just let's see where it takes us. It wasn't because he'd taken a dislike to his present location. Some people leave for that reason. They think this province is an awful place. We'll leave as soon as we can. And they become disillusioned with where they're living and they say anywhere else would be better, and off they go. And it wasn't because Abraham was looking for some exotic new location. Sometimes that's why people move. It's astonishing to see in our local newspapers great advertisements for houses in Bulgaria and all sorts of places. And we're invited to come along to exhibitions and see about buying a house in some exotic location, and people move to live in sunny climates. Abraham left home for a very, very simple reason. The Lord had said to Abram, leave. He went and took this momentous step by faith in obedience to the call of God. And you notice that when the Lord called Abraham, he made it clear what this would mean. The cost of obedience was clearly set before him. And the cost is explained progressively. Leave your country, the present place of residence, a place you've become familiar with, and leave with no prospect of ever returning back to that location. Without any prospect of retracing his steps, no return ticket. Leave your country. Then leave your people, all those relatives that you've grown up with, some of them you've played with, some of them have helped you, you've helped them. Leave your people. Progressively, the cost is being set before Abram. And then, leave your father's house, your immediate family. Leave the ones who are closest to you. The command seems to increase in intensity. The cost becomes more and more clear. Abraham knows what it will mean to obey the Lord's call. And you see, when the Lord Jesus calls men and women to follow him, he makes it clear what it will mean. Being a Christian means total devotion to Christ. It means that there can be no division of loyalties in the true followers of Christ. It means we can't hide from people what it means. We want people to follow the Savior. We want people to come to him and trust in him and follow him, because that is the only way of life. But we mustn't hide from them what it means and what is the cost of discipleship. To hide that would be unfair and dishonest. It might also be ruinous, because some might begin and then give up. We need to know, like Abraham, what it means to follow God's way. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, and his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." There is absolute clarity in this call. But there's also great mercy in this call. Abram is being called away from an old way of life. He's being called away from heathen practices, from idolatry. He's being called into a marvelous living relationship with God. He's being called to fellowship with God. He's being called to inherit a great inheritance. He's being called out of darkness into light. Did he deserve that? Had Abraham taken the initiative and moved, first of all, a little bit along the way? No. This call comes in mercy and in the kindness of God. Abram is not deserving of such a call. There is grace and love in these words: leave. So what made Abram respond? He didn't have any examples of anyone else who'd done this. There weren't any heroes of the faith to look to. There was no local church where he could go for counsel and advice about this call. Why did he respond? Faith. Faith. And that faith was awakened in his heart by the word of God: leave your country. The word came to him powerfully and effectively. He heard it in his heart. He was awakened by it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have you heard the word like that? Has it reached your heart? Has it reached Abram's heart and made you willing to obey? He went by faith, trusting in God. You notice the interesting thing here, that although Abram knows the direction he's to go, he doesn't yet know the final destination. He set off trusting that in God's own good time, his ultimate goal would be made clear. He went trusting that moment, without knowing exactly where he was going. Here's what Hebrews tells us. By faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Christians live by faith. The future details are not revealed to us. Every day, we must step out in faith, trusting in the Lord. That's it, isn't it? Walk by faith. Don't expect to be told everything that's going to happen. Just today, walk by faith. Obey God's call. Faith obeys the call of God. Secondly, faith believes the promises of God. If you look down this opening few verses of chapter 12, you'll notice there is one command and many promises. Verse 2 is filled with promises. There's one command and many, many promises. Because always, along with his commands, God gives promises. There aren't commands without promises. And Abram believed those promises. But you see, we need to notice that the key to all of these promises is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because the Bible tells us that. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes that Christ is the one through whom the peoples on the earth will be blessed. Here's what Paul wrote. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. What is that gospel? Saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. It's the promise that's here in these words. This, says Paul, is the gospel promise. And Abraham heard the gospel in these words, that there would be blessing for all kinds of people all over the world. And how would that blessing come? It would come through Christ. Abraham believed this promise, which is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, we receive the blessings of salvation, life, forgiveness, an eternal inheritance, grace for every step of the way. We cannot understand these promises that are given to Abraham unless we see them fulfilled in Christ. The story of Abraham points us to Jesus. Abraham is here receiving promises that are really the gospel, pointing us to Christ. So how did Abraham receive the promises? What did he do with them? He believed. He believed in Christ, through whom this promise would be fulfilled. How do you experience these blessings? How do you come to know them? What's the only way in which to receive them? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Redeemer. You see, my friends, Abraham speaks to the 21st century and he says, listen to the gospel. Come to believe as I did in Jesus and receive the blessings that are in him. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Thirdly, then, faith obeys the call of God. Faith believes the promises of God. And the third thing we see about it here is that faith sees the kingdom of God. When Abraham embarked on this journey, he was a middle-aged man. He was 75, we're told, which in those days was middle-aged. So new adventures, new moves are not limited to young people. They're not confined to those who are in their 20s. The Lord works in people's lives at all kinds of ages. This middle-aged man is moving into a whole new panorama of experience and wonder. He's moving into life as a middle-aged man. So Abram arrives in Canaan with his family. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife and his nephew and other members of the family, and off they went. And they arrived at a place called Shechem. But notice what it was that Abraham did when he arrived at Shechem underneath the tree of Moreh. He set up an altar. He built there an altar to the Lord. The primary thing for Abram was now the worship of God. It was to own him and to proclaim him and to acknowledge him. Here they were, you see, in this strange land, surrounded by heathen peoples. But Abraham sets up the altar. This family, he says, is different. This family is distinct. These people with me are separate from the heathen religions all around. We are not like the Canaanites. This is a family which believes in the one living God and lives for him. And isn't that what our homes are to be like? In the middle of a heathen culture, our homes are to be like that. Living declarations. This family is different. We are not the Canaanites. We are people who belong to God and who love and worship and serve him. And we are here for that purpose. That's the Christian home in an ungodly culture. Twice Abraham builds an altar. And as well as building, do you notice that he traveled to Shechem, south to Bethel, over to Ai, out to the Negev? What's he doing? He's making a circular tour of this land of Canaan. He's marching around it, as it were. His feet are covering the land. And what's he saying? Because remember, Abram lives by faith. So what's he saying? He's saying, I believe that one day God's promise will be fulfilled, and this land will belong to my descendants as he has promised. I will give you this land. The whole earth blessed. So, by building the altars, by making the tour, Abraham is expressing his faith in God's kingdom. That God owns the land, not the Canaanites. By faith, Abraham can see the kingdom of God. You see, the first 11 chapters of Genesis cover long periods of time. They cover many, many generations in a very bare outline, just a very bare economic outline. But now, once you come to chapter 12, it changes. The picture narrows down. It's not everybody. It's not a whole wide range of people. It narrows down to one family, to one family line. And from the time of Abraham, the story is all about the kingdom of God. And everything that happens is now governed by God for the purpose of His kingdom. So what a declaration Abraham was making. This land belongs to God and to His kingdom. It was a statement of great faith. See, it didn't look like that. It didn't look like that. Canaan wasn't an empty, uninhabited tract of land. It was filled with the Canaanites. And they have been described as a perfidious, wicked people, destitute of all humanity. What neighbours to have? A wicked people, destitute of all humanity. Imagine living next door to someone like that. Here he was, and all the people around him were these Canaanites. It looks like an insurmountable obstacle to the promises being fulfilled. But Abraham looks in faith and not by sight. And by faith he says, but I know, no matter what it looks like, I know the kingdom of God is coming. And my friends, that is how we look out at the world by faith. We say, the Lord Jesus Christ is King over every nation. All of them have been given to Him as His inheritance. And one day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And we're a bit like Abraham. We look around and we see what he saw. The Canaanites were in the land. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And there they are. And they're in control of the media. And there they are. And they're deciding on the legislation which is passed in Parliament. And there they are. And they're powerful and influential. And they're doing things that are contrary to God's word. The Canaanites at that time were in the land. But by faith, we say, there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. It is the great reality. That's what Abraham was saying as he toured the land and built the altars. He's saying to us this morning, don't be intimidated by the Canaanites. Look in faith and see the kingdom of God. It's the great reality. It's certain, it's unshakable, because the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And since that is so, The great thing, and the most important thing, is by faith to be a citizen of this kingdom, to belong to Him, to trust in Him. Thy kingdom come. And it will, and it is coming. Let us pray.